This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Yeah, it's a great day for racing. It's a great day for the country. It's arguably a great day for the world because Brendan Duke's self-imposed podcast sabbatical is over. And very, very shortly, he'll tell us what he's been up to for the last while. We're also joined by John McDonald of Bar One Racing, the sponsors, Joseph O'Brien. And Joseph O'Brien will then be making way for Tony Mullins. Is that it's a pretty good swap as well, Joseph? You for Tony Mullins?
Yep, you're getting a big upgrade there, Johnny, to be fair.
you look like you're in a nice part of the world. Are you out in the gallops?
I'm just out walking the dogs here. So, yeah, you got me at a good time, nice and relaxed.
Can we see the dogs? Or
you can if you want, yeah.
Yeah, go on, show us the dogs, or we'll set the tone for the night here.
I don't know. How do you spin this camera around?
Maybe well, here we go. Maybe can we see the dogs, Winner? Maybe we can see the dogs. If we can't see the dog, if we can't, there they are. Look at the patience of them, Dukey.
Ah, well, they're well trained. There's no surprise there, Johnny, is there, in fairness?
And you liked one of his horses at the Curragh today, Dukey.
Yes, well, he had three in the 2-year-old maiden, but the horse who finished third, whose name escapes me. I'm only back. I'm blasted by the wind. My brains are rattled. I can't remember the name of it, but pretty clueless in the preliminaries and pretty clueless in the race, but ran on well for third. So, horse for the future.
Joseph, I was just saying this before we came on. You've had 66 runners in the last 14 days, but that seems normal to you. For other trainers, it'd be a lot, and you know, you're kept going between National Hunt and Flat, but you are gradually winding the National Hunt down a bit.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Johnny, we're very lucky. Very good team of people with us, and everything runs very smoothly. And I suppose we're coming to the end of the year, so we're always keen to get runs into two-year-olds that, you know, maybe are a little bit backward or a bit immature, and I like to get a run into them and then let them off if we can at all, rather than leaving them unraced through the winter. So you see, like Brendan saw, some of my two-year-olds today were probably a little bit green, but that run will really stand to them for when they come back next spring, hopefully.
That's actually, so this is a stupid question, but what's the benefit of giving a backward two-year-old one run and then putting them away?
I suppose it's the experience, Johnny, of going to the races and running in a race. Isn't there there to, they're there to go and do the best they can. But I'm sure Brendan will tell you, if he saw them in the preliminaries, they're tall horses, late maturing type horses that will be better next spring. But I'm always very anxious, if possible, to get them on the track at two and get them that experience before they have their winter break.
And in terms of the sales, you've been busy. Anthony taking your eye, have you been buying away over the last while?
Yeah, we have. The sales have been strong, which is great. We think we got some value, as does everyone who bought animals at the sales. And we'll find out over the next 6, 8, 10 months as to how much value we did get. But yeah, we got a number of nice yearlings, and yeah, it's exciting times.
Briefly, Dukey, where have you been?
Well, where I've been racing, Johnny. I'll never make up for the 18 months that were stolen from me. But if I bring you back to last Saturday, I was in Fairy House. Sunday, where was I on Sunday? I was at the races in the Curragh on Sunday. Tuesday, Punchestown. Wednesday, Punchestown. Today, I was in the Curragh. Tomorrow, I'm at a wedding. Saturday, I'm in Leopardstown. Sunday, I'll be in Ney. Some people do this for fun, Johnny. It's a full-time job.
It's your own wedding, is it?
No, it's not my own wedding. It's an erstwhile colleague of mine. Shout out to Mr. Alan Burney. Had to postpone it two or three times. Not alone in that, of course. So we're going down to the Castle Durrow and hopefully have a good time and a bit of a dance. I have my slippy shoes with me anyway.
I don't think any of us, any sign of you to get married, Joseph O'Brien, actually.
Not anytime soon, anyway. I don't think so, Johnny.
Yeah, well, at least he's timing his side. Whatever about the three of us. Speaking of which, John McDonald, how has it been for you? How has it been for the firm over the last few days with the Dewhurst and so on?
Yeah, good, Johnny. Obviously, the Dewhurst was a bad result. The Cesaro week on Saturday as well was a bad result. That was well-backed Antipost, the Henderson winner. But things have been quite midway. Jumping at Punchestown was quite good. I enjoyed Tuesday, Wednesday. They're always two good solid cards. Gallivan, obviously. I think he's going to be a national contender come April. he might pitch up actually up the north on Saturday for the champion chase, but I think he could be an entry candidate come the first Saturday in April.
Yeah, and actually, Gordon's horse has been in great form. We will look back on the Dewhurst here. I might get your thoughts on this, Joseph, as well. He is the outstanding two-year-old native trail.
Yeah, he was an impressive winner, Johnny. They went slow in the preliminaries. The first half of the race, I thought the pace was very slow and it was going to be very tactical. He almost looked beaten inside the two, but really hit the line strong. So I was very impressed with him, Johnny. You could not be. He looks a big horse and an exciting horse for next season.
And I guess he's the horse to beat in the Guineas, or is there anything that maybe your dad has that's going to come out of the pack?
Well, I suppose Dad will have horses that will step up from 2 to 3. I thought his horse in this race actually got a rough enough trip, so I think you have to forgive him that run. But there's no doubt that Native Trail at the moment is the one to beat in the Guineas.
What do you make of Luxembourg?
Sure, look, he looked incredible in the Curra. We'll know more when he goes to the Vertum Futurity. But he looked very good, very impressive, and you could not be impressed with him.
If you back Native Trail, Juki, you did have a couple of moments of worry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the dip was always going to be a concern with this horse. I mean, I love him because I saw him in the Curra, and he's the most physically impressive horse I've seen since Churchill. He's a physical wow. Phenom. But yeah, no, he really is an incredible specimen. But he hits the ground really hard. I wouldn't think he'd want too many races on fast ground. And as we know at Newmarket in May, one of the driest places in England. So it's the quick ground and that dip is still a concern with him. Now, Appleby said he wasn't doing a tap, which is kind of a little bit of a worry with a horse at that stage of his development. They shouldn't really be getting cute after 4 runs. That's another slight concern, but the horse has incredible physical gifts. There's no doubt about that.
What did you make of him, John?
Yeah, impressive, John. I thought he was in trouble there mid-race, but he seemed to, he picked up well once he hit the rising ground. He was very strong to the line. The lads cut him into 5-2. He's going to be the winter favourite now for the Guineas. Luxembourg, 11-1 point. Lonsdale, obviously, beaten by him in the National Stakes, second favourite at 8. But yeah, you couldn't but be impressed in the end. Obviously, there was that slight worry mid-race.
Joseph, Dundalk is edging back, which means winter is on the way. Are you a fan of the winter nights in Dundalk?
Yeah, absolutely, Johnny. Always keen to have runners in Dundalk when we can. It's always competitive racing, and looking forward to the winter season up there, absolutely.
I see you put Bright ID into a claimer as well tomorrow in the first race, which is a sign of a lot of these claimers in Ireland. I think they are kind of rising in class of late.
Yeah, well, I'd be keen for there to be more claimers and a claiming system through the winter and even through the summer, but particularly through the winter. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I'd be even keen for more claimers and less 65s. And you'll find that people will trade horses and claim horses, and horses will be claimed, and it'll become a whole thing of its own. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'd be keen for that to happen at some stage. And I'm sure Bright Idea will be popular tomorrow.
It's a very, very practical way to get rid of a horse.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, people have horses for different reasons. People want to have a horse who's going to be a stakes horse. And if he's not going to be a stakes horse, they're happy to just get him moved on. And someone else would be very happy to have him to participate in Premier Handicaps and races along through the summer. So it's a very quick and easy way to get a horse moved on. And it's a great way to buy a horse. You know you're getting a sound horse. He runs and you can see his form. You can see him there before the race and see him perform, and you decide then if you put in your claim. So it's not I'm a big fan of them, but you know I've said that before, and I'd like to see more of them, but yeah, we'll see.
Must have an outstanding chance tomorrow.
Yeah, he should be hard to beat. I actually haven't gone through the race now in detail yet, but I would expect that he'll be hard to beat.
And then you've New Moon Rising Irwin, Music to My Ears, who's obviously down in class, and Cambadu as well.
Yeah, I've two fillies I thought had chances in the fillies handicap. Cambadu drops in class, but carries plenty of weight. Irwin won up there over the course and distance last time, and I'm sure he'll be a nearly favourite or second favourite again. And then New Moon Rising got a very bad draw, which might make it tough for her.
Any fancies, Juki?
In Dundalk?
Indeed.
Yes, I have it, but it's my nap. Do you want me to hold it back or do you want
it now? Yeah, we can hold back. What about you, Johnny Mac?
Yeah, a few of Joseph's. Obviously, Joseph Irwin was impressive the last night. He's thrown quite wide, isn't he, tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm not too worried for him. He liked the roll forward, so I don't mind a wide draw for him a little bit.
And we have obviously been,
The Philly.
Go ahead, go ahead, Johnny Mac.
Sorry, Johnny, music to my ears, Joseph. She looks well handicapped. Obviously, she ran up 91. She was favoured for a big handicap on Champions Weekend last year. She's dropped down the handicap, hasn't she?
She's dropped down the handicap a bit, all right. She just needs things to fall her way. She's a hold-up horse. She'll be coming from the back, and it's difficult for horses like that because if there's no pace, you can ultimately put a line through the run. So, she'll be coming from the back, and I couldn't stop anyone from backing her if they think the race will set up right for her.
I think you've 13 runners, if that's not wrong, at Leopardstown then on Saturday, Joseph. Anything particularly worth talking about before we go to Ascot?
Yeah, I have a couple of horses in the listed race, and I have a couple of nice 2-year-olds, and they're all worth following. Good heavens, I thought I had a good chance in the maiden, but maybe there'd be something unexposed in there. I haven't seen the final field in detail yet, but I have plenty of runners and looking forward to the card. It's actually a good card in Leopardstown.
It is a good card. It's a cracking card in Ascot. We will get back to Leopardstown. We'll let Joseph go shortly, but I think this might be the time to go to Baron Samedi, who... I don't know, Joseph, this horse is just, he's just been, what is he now? How many runs have we had so far? 14 runs, 7 victories, unbelievably reliable sort of horse for you. And this was just a brilliant run the last day, which obviously would set him up nicely here to go to Ascot with a chance under Dylan Brown McMonagall.
Absolutely, Johnny. He gets a good draw, which I was delighted to see. I think the course and distance will suit him well. Comes off a very good run the last day, and he actually wasn't finished with in the Curragh, which was a very tough race. And I think he has a live each way chance, and obviously what's a very strong race.
He's a hardy horse.
He is, absolutely. A progressive horse, and tough. And he's a great horse, Johnny, to be honest. And he deserves to win a big one like this. And, you know, he deserves his shot in Group 1s. I know this is a Group 2, but it'd be fantastic if he could win another one of them.
How do we bet in this race, Johnny Mac? We'll talk to Tony Mullins about Princess Zoe as well.
At Trush and around about 11 to 8, Johnny, at the moment, if I can quickly get my prices up. But 11 to 8, Trush, and I think we're around about 7 to 2, Stradivarius. So Joseph's horse is, I think, 8-10 to 1, Baron Samedi. But I think Trush is going to be hard to beat.
And you run Master Reality as well, Joseph.
Yeah, he for some reason he hasn't had his best form at the Curragh through his career, but on his best he's just beaten the NASCA Gold Cup, and on that run he'd have a live each way chance here, but probably just needs things to fall right for him. He's drawn wide, which actually it'll be okay for him. He'll be an outsider, but a live one if things fall his way.
What do you like, Juki?
I'm not massively strong on anything at Ascot. I'm obviously really looking forward to seeing Baid against Palace Pier. That should be a right dust up. Mishriff again. He's favourite, but I think he's probably a fair price because Adair doesn't help himself. He ran very keen in the King George, and he got away with it because he's a very talented horse. But he overraced in the Ark as well. Gave himself a hard race. Won't be easy to back up here. So I thought Palace Pier and Mishriff would win, but they're very obvious. I haven't got any wise guy selections for you, I'm afraid.
That's perfectly fine. Joseph, Thunder Moon, just, you know, he obviously went to the back end of the season after a brilliant run behind St. Mark's Basilica, having won his first two races. How would you assess the season for him? It's just been a bit up and down, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been frustrating, Johnny, all right. He's unlucky not to win a Group 1 in France. Just got beaten, and things haven't gone his way. We tried him at a mile. It's probably far enough for him, and we tried him in a sprint, which he goes back sprinting here at the weekend, but it's probably shorter than what he ideally likes, so he probably sits in the middle there somewhere. He's a talented horse when things click for him, but there's not many of those top 7 furlong races on the goodish ground that are available to him, and just when he got those conditions, he nearly won a Group 1, so he probably just needs these conditions, but he'll go there, and he'll take his time, and listen, if they go quick, which I'm sure they will, he'll be coming home, and it'll be great if he could sneak into a place.
Yeah, and he will be a big price as well. And your final runner then at Ascot, you have Raise You as well running in the Balmoral.
Yeah, Raise You ran very well last time in Galway. Things didn't fall right for him. The ground will be on the easier side of good, which will be fine for him. Stiff mile. And I think there's a big pot in him when things fall his way. And he's been drawn high, which I think is good. And hoping for a good run.
Your best hope over the three cards?
I have no idea, but I'd be hoping that Baron Samedi is probably my best chance in Ascot, and I'd be delighted if he could run a big race. I'd be delighted if he could win.
He's making progress, this man, Brendan.
Oh, a different class. I love backing his horse. Oh, yeah, because I've been away from the race course, but what you miss at the race course is the lies people tell. If they don't necessarily tell you lies, but you hear things, and you have to assume that 50% of it is lies. And all you ever hear is, oh, Joseph can't get staff. And all the horses are immaculately turned out. As you say, the logistics of running all these horses, 60 horses in 16 days or whatever it is, massive logistical operation, horses going throughout the season. And then my friend said to me in the car on Sunday, he said, yeah, Josephs are in good form. They've been in good form for 2 years. When are they not in good form? So, I think he's got a future, the Umpa. I think that's my big call of the day.
Joseph.
Thanks, Brendan. It's much appreciated.
How do you manage it, the staff, and being a boss as well at such a young age? And like, how many staff do you have?
Yeah, we actually are going quite well for staff. I think in our industry, or probably most industry, it's the smaller operations that are actually struggling more than the bigger operations for people, because people are keen to work in a big yard where there's a bit of sport, a good atmosphere, and more people to work with them every day. In a smaller yard where people are working themselves and one or two other people, it's tough to get people to do that, you know. So I feel it's tougher for the smaller yards to get people than the bigger yards, to be honest.
And in terms of next season, what horses would you advise to look out for?
I think I have a nice bunch of 2-year-olds. Johnny, I have obviously a Garta, looks like one of my best 2-year-old fillies. She'll be an exciting filly for next year. And I have some nice later maturing types that I'm looking forward to getting started, say between now and Christmas and maybe next spring. I'm excited.
And if you had to have a bet 3-1 the field on the first of us four to get married first, who would your bet be?
Brendan, is it?
Brendan, Jesus, I wouldn't be back in that. Although I'm not sure I'd be back in. Actually, I think it. I don't know. I think this is a bad race. Actually, I don't have any faith in any of us.
I'm happy to lay Johnny Ward anyway. That's for sure.
On that note, Joseph, it's been great having you on. The dogs are still there.
All right. See you, Johnny. Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks for making.
Good luck, Joseph.
Bye-bye.
See you, Joseph. And now we are joined by the one and only Tony Mullins. How are you, Tony?
I'm in good form.
We just saw Juki on the vape there, which actually I have to shamefully admit, I've gone down the vape route myself. Is it something you consider yourself, Tony Mullins? I know you were a fan of the old oily rags back in the day.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm still on the real ones a little bit. I'm working hard on it.
How are you keeping?
Good.
What is ahead for you over the winter in terms of how many National Hunt horses do you have for the year ahead?
Very few.
Right.
I had a couple of nice horses and I had to sell them.
So. In terms of keeping the show on the road or?
Yeah. No, but that's always the way with me. I mean, that's not a new thing. You know, we have to sell to stay going. So if we sell before they run, it's a pity. You know, Kilcrut was sold the minute he ran. And I sold a couple of lovely walk in the parks there lately. And unfortunately, I didn't get to run them before I sold them. But anyway, that's the way it is. So
we can't survive.
We can't survive without selling. And then we have to run the riffraff after.
And in terms of Kilcrut, like, how good do you think he's going to be?
I'd say he's going to be a beautiful 2.5 mile horse. And I'd imagine he'll jump now. I think we jumped a few baby hurdles with him. I don't remember him ever being bad or spectacular. So I'm sure he'll jump away. And if he does, he's going to be a grade 1 horse. And then if luck goes their way, he could be a champion.
Juki, it's good to have him back.
Oh, yes. Yes, I always entertaining and a big weekend in the place. One of the races of the weekend. Joseph mentioned that it's a group two, but it's a group one in all but name. It's a proper stay in heat.
Let's first of all look back on Princess Zoe second in the Irish Ledger. And this obviously then ran into her run at Longchamp when she finished a very respectable fifth. And now she's obviously bidding to get her first win of the season. And let's look at this race at the Curragh. And Tony, you must have been delighted with this, obviously, run into a very, very hardy Melbourne Cup winner and maybe would have possibly preferred slightly softer ground on the day.
Yeah, but I mean, the mindset was more numbers than anything else. So she cruised off the end and then did quite fine. Now, the same thing happened over 2.5 miles in Paris. So, I mean, that's a little anxious of that. I haven't quite worked that out yet. But, like, she came on the outside in Longchamp and didn't find it. She came on the inside in the Curragh. And while she ran a brilliant race, she just didn't quite find it. So there might be some little thing there that maybe she needs to go a little earlier. I'm not sure. You know, because at both times off the point of the bend, you'd imagine she'd have won. And the two races were run over 6 furlongs of a different distance. And the same thing seemed to happen. So I'm a little anxious over that.
Are you maybe underestimating how tough Twilight Payment is?
I know. I mean, we got beaten by a pure champion in Paris and we got beaten by a Melbourne Cup winner, another top class horse in the Curragh, you know. So, I mean, if you're expecting to run in Group 1 and Group 2s, and this was a Group 3, you're only going to meet top class horses. That's what group racing is about. So, she has to learn how to beat them or get out of the kitchen, isn't it?
How would you assess the season in general?
Very good. I mean, I was so confident going to Paris, coming to the bend. I said, everything is going exactly as I planned. And then she didn't find it in the straight. I mean, to tell you the truth, I was dumbfounded after the race.
Really?
Because I thought before the race, tell you the truth, I know how good everyone else thinks they are. I thought that we'd win. And coming down to the last bend, I said, here it is. This is exactly what I thought. And then she didn't find it. So I was as sick as a pig.
It's kind of a strange feeling, isn't it, when if you're involved in a horse and your expectation is so high, it can leave you feeling very flat when something like that happens. Even as much as you're fifth in a Group 1, you just feel a bit of an anticlimax, don't you?
I promised myself coming home that night that I'd never let myself get like that again. I've seen owners disappointed over the years because, you know, that one horse and that. But I had got myself so into it. I was so sure she'd win. I was devastated after the race.
What would your father say to you if he were alive? Would he say to grow up and cop on to yourself?
No, exactly. That's what he'd say, grow up. And I just said, now, while I'm hugely excited about Saturday, I'm not going to let my knickers get in a knot like that again.
Your brother seems to take the defeats very well. That's something I noticed. When there was one day, one Cheltenham, he was having a fairly bad first couple of days, and he just seems to deal with that very well.
Yeah, very easy. Well, I won't say it's very easy, but it's much easier to deal with it when you have 50 horses to fall back on. When you have one, it's a little different, Johnny.
Yeah, that's the thing as well. Like, that there's so much resting on that one horse, which, I mean, and things will go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think much went wrong. That's what really disappointed me. If something went wrong, I'd say, well, right, we'll get that right and we'll win the next day. And then I'm at sea to know why she came down to the last bend on the bridle, everything going right, and then just didn't give that fire that she always did. Now, you have to allow the true Shannon Stradivarius are genuine champions. Mm. And maybe that's, but I don't accept that. I thought our filly was working. As I say, I just couldn't see defeat. And I got a bit of a shock. So
could she be gone a bit gun-shy, Tony, after the hard race in the Cadran last year?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I would imagine that our second in the Ascot Gold Cup is the best run of her life, ratings wise. So I don't think that. And you see, maybe, you know, I've said 100 times that her third to subjectivist or fourth to subjectivist in the French St. Ledger 3 weeks later. Of course, everyone said when she didn't win, oh, she was flat. She wasn't flat. She ran better in the French St. Ledger than she did when she won. Like, you have to remember, in the Cadran, she beat Alcuin, who's not a Group 1 horse. Now, her placed efforts in the Group 1 races are much better than her win. So, I just love to get her head back in front, you know, because punters just want to follow winners. And so do I, just want to have winners. But if I was a handicapper, I can see how her rating after the Prix de Cadran was 108. And her rating after the Ascot Gold Cup was 114. I know the punter that backs a horse doesn't understand that by not winning, she ran a better race in Ascot than she did in the Prix de Cadran.
Just on her, Dookie, as well, like, because we all know your views on the lockdown, and it's been tough for a lot of people, but Princess Zoe did actually make the lockdown a lot more bearable for a lot of people who had no involvement in her whatsoever last year.
Oh, well, it was a great story. The only sad story was that the lads who backed her in Navan. What did she get beaten in Navan off? 60 or something? And that was the only sad story. But going, and I'm trying to remember back now. Did she win the Ladies' Derby? And then she won
the Ladies' Derby next. And then
She won the big handicap in Galway. And, of course, she's such a striking looking mare as well. It was a great story. No doubt about it, yeah.
And Johnny Mack, it was like one of these things that, I don't know, it made it fun to even be watching race, and obviously we weren't there.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great story. Tony, you're very good with the content as well, social. I think people can kind of follow it. It brings them into the story as such, you know. And we kind of crave the small, racing is dominated now by big owners and big trainers, and it's a great story, Paddy Keogh and Tony. And Joey Sheridan, of course, is but can't claim as well. It makes into a great story.
Yeah, I mean, for a small stable like us to have a Group 1 performer is just, you know, I mean, it's like County Louth having a chance in the All-Ireland, you know what I mean?
It's
just unbelievable. So, the excitement we have with that mare here is, you know, you just have to be here to know what it's like. And she's so reliable that, like, even though she gets beat, or she has been getting beaten this year in Group 1s, she's still running to Group 1 level all the time. And to have one like that, you know, when you're busy here with 102s and 109s over hurdles and 65 to 75 horses on the flat, you know, to have one like her, you just have to be here to know what it's like.
You obviously don't want her to leave either.
No, and you see, but I'm lucky that Paddy and Philomena are racing people. And you know the way all these wealthy lads say, oh, we'll bring her off to stud now. As long as the mare is liking racing, Paddy will want her to race, and so will Philomena. So now she's not, she had a hard time as a young filly, and there's a bit of arthritis there and that. So we're monitored as we go along. But I think this year now, as I say again, she hasn't won this year, but she's been running better this year because, you know, she just started off at a higher level. So I would believe her training is better. So I believe we're going to get next year out of her as well.
And our track is common in horses.
Paddy still has ideas of jumping.
Yeah, actually going to say that to you.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it, but one thing about Paddy, you know, his game is a gander. He loves the jumping game. And, you know, if he wants to try it, we'll have a go. But I just die down dead if it hadn't happened to Robert Hurls.
And obviously, yeah, we remember a particular mare that your dad might have trained who suffered a bad kind of ending. And you never, ever want to see that.
Yeah, well, you see, again, you'd have to have been below in my father's yard. I mean, the silence around the yard for the following 7 or 8 months was just unreal, you know. That's, you know, we're obviously talking about when Don Rum was killed. And it wasn't about feeling sorry for the day or anything. It had an awful effect on the yard for 6 or 7 months. You know, she had been there, queen of the whole depression of the 80s for 4 or 5 years, and suddenly in 2 seconds she's gone. It's, you know, it's like losing someone out of the family.
Yeah, people maybe don't see that, Juki.
No, you certainly wouldn't think you could get that wrapped up in a horse. It's interesting. I don't deal with horses day to day, so it's easier for me to say that it's not something I really understand. I kind of feel like, well, it's a horse, but I don't work with horses.
Well, plus it's not a horse, you see.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to give a perspective on it, really. Yeah.
It's an awful shock. You just, as I keep saying, you just have to be around one of that caliber. Having been around a lot of ordinary horses for a lot of times, to get one of that caliber, then to lose it in 2 seconds, I know what it's like, and I don't want to feel it again.
Unfortunately, with it being a podcast format, unlike when often Tony, Juki and I end up in sort of Cheltenham preview night format, which instead of going on for half an hour, can go on for about a day and a half. But unfortunately, this is not the format here, so we're going to have to let you go. But before that, what sort of chance do you give her at Ascot? And is there any reason she can reverse the form?
Yeah, well, I believe she was a little lame when she came home, you see. And everyone said the ground went soft. Now, the ground suddenly went soft an hour before the race, which is the worst type of ground because it's a bit sloppy on top and 2 inches down, it's like iron. Now, it was genuinely soft the second day, the day of the arc. But on the Saturday, the top was sloppy and it was firm under. So, and I don't care what anyone says, and they can give me pentometers or anything they like. I walked the track. I know what it was like. And I'm blaming that. And I hope that won't happen in Ascot, and good ground will do us, and I believe we're going to improve 4 or 5 lengths, and that puts us in the fray.
That's what we like to hear. And finally, Joseph O'Brien was on, made the point that none of the four of us was married. You have been married, but if there was betting on any of the five of us to get married next, who would you be betting on?
Johnny, you're drifting hard anyway.
It was a big price, it was.
Yeah, but I think now you're definitely gone 66s anyway.
Ah, Jesus. You might be favourite, actually.
Juki, I haven't studied Juki. It's hard to get to see his form.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be laying 66s. That's a bet. I mean, Quasimodo would be a bet in this company to get married next.
Yeah, we'll have to get a bar one marked on this sooner or later. Tony, I can't wait to see her son Saturday, and I think we all hope she wins. Simple as that, and it's great to have you on.
Well done. Thanks, lads.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Bye.
And now we can finish up. That was Tony Mullins, and, jeez, Brenda, you just hear his voice, and... You know, it's this deep kind of... I think he's a brilliant talker, actually. He's been on... there were a couple of documentaries done in recent years about racing, and he spoke a lot on them vis-a-vis Don Run and all that. I just think he makes me want to listen to him, and his passion is just so uplifting as well. And this is why this story is so good.
Yes, he definitely... it's a good story, whoever trains her, but he definitely, as John mentioned, with the social media and what have you, he does seem to engage with the public. And he has a raft of stories to tell. When you were talking about the Cheltenham preview nights, he's very generous with his time. So, yeah, good man. And I hope she runs well for him.
What price is Zoe, Johnny Mac?
She is 8-1, Johnny, at the moment, behind Trochano. Yeah.
And if you listen, double it up with me at 66s to get married first. I actually think that's not the worst 66s shot. Should be probably more closer to 50s. It's time for naps, though. It's time for naps. Juki, it's great to have you back, by the way. I mean, it's just that the pangs of regret. I thought we'd lost you forever, at the very least another week or two.
Yes, well, I still think we're in the same situation as when I left. I've said everything I want to say. My views are on record. I've basically got nothing left to say. But I am, like a lot of tarts, susceptible to flattery, and you've managed to flatter me back to on here. So it's very, very kind of you to have me back, and a very enjoyable show. You're doing Trojan work in my absence, and I'll keep showing up. for a few weeks anyway.
Well, yeah, I think we've tied you down for a bit longer than that, and we may have somebody else tied down in the very near future. We shall be back to that. But Johnny Mac, I mean, you can't take the smile off your face since he's come back on the show.
Yeah, delighted to have Brendan back, witty as ever. Oh, value whether in a podcast or in a pub, Bren, you're a good crack. Great to have you back.
Let's get the naps, starting with you, Brendan Duke.
Well, I was really struggling this weekend. I had a look at Leopardstown in depth and a quick look at Naas because I didn't have the decks. So I decided to go to try and hit one out of the park for my return. This Massa Man runs in the 6:45 in Dundalk on Friday. Now, not an obvious one.
Is that a curry house in Dublin, or is it?
I think it's a dish. I think you can get a Massa Man curry in a Thai restaurant, but maybe is it just one S? I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up. But anyway, this Massa Man, good looking horse. He stood out the last day to me in the ring in the curry, in very low grade company. Quite a good looking horse. Now, he's a bit of a boy. He got a bit upset beforehand, was giving his handler a hard time, and then he missed the break. He didn't just miss the break. He walked out of the stall. So, obviously, we have these concerns with him tomorrow. Will he behave himself on the way to the start? Will he come out of the traps? But the booty showed. He's dropping back a furlong now on Friday. I wouldn't worry about that. The booty showed to get back into contention at the Curra certainly suggests he has a bit of ability for a horse who's so lowly rated. If they can get him out of the stalls, it's a slightly lower grade on Friday as well, which will help. If they can get him out of the stalls, I think he'll travel up well, have no problem with the trip, and he's going to be a big price, so I'll have something small on
him. It must be the biggest price nap we've gotten from Juki. Very, very interesting as well for Jack Davison, who's had a good year, obviously, with his star, Mio Mento. Johnny MacDonald.
This one's a bit left field, Johnny. I'm going to go with Chicago Bear. He runs in the mile and a half handicap at Leopardstown on Saturday. Trained by Johnny Marta, won a Dundalk maiden last winter. We've only seen him twice this year. He was very well back to win a Leopardstown three-year-old handicap in early April time. Didn't show up there. The race has worked out really well. He's had one run since, ran on soft ground, heavy ground at Tipperary the last day. Made good lay of headway. That was over 9 furlongs. Back up to a mile and a half on Saturday. Good ground at Leopardstown. I think he might be a better headed handicapper, that fella. Chicago Bear.
Lovely. Lovely. So another slightly left field. And if you want the absolute good thing of the weekend, look away now. I literally could not tip. I couldn't tip a waiter at the moment. I couldn't tip anything, Juki. Any better analogy than that?
I couldn't tip shit off a shovel.
Okay, well, use more better language than that. But anyway, 7:15 Mulzam. This is a horse I was actually involved in, who I backed many, many times. And whilst I was involved with him, predictably, he never won. He then left my ownership and that of a colleague of mine and went on to win a scatter of races. Such is life, but he's back at Dundalk. I think the race will be made up to run to suit him tomorrow. And he's around 8-10-1. He should have a good chance. Johnny Mac, what's going on for you the weekend before we wrap up?
What's going on? I'm at Dundalk tomorrow night, Johnny. I am out on my bike Saturday and I'm at Naas Summit.
Doesn't get better than that, Juki.
Well, my weekend now is pretty full as well. I won't be on the bike, I suppose. But it sounds like John likes to keep active. I might do a bit of dancing tomorrow night, so I suppose I'll get a bit of activity in as well.
Beautiful. I'm going to go to the south of France where I'll forget my general day-to-day life, but we'll, of course, be thinking of On the Wire next week. Lads, thanks a million for coming on.
Not at all. Thanks for having me, Johnny.
And thanks to Joseph O'Brien and the inimitable Tony Mullins. We'll be back next week.
This is On the Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.